The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
When you say it's a close call, I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Close call in the sense that they were in two events at the White House together within 2 days. She tested positive.
How can you guys say that President Biden was not a close contact with Speaker Pelosi when there is video of the Speaker kissing him?
Well, Peter, the way that it is defined...
So it's the White House position that President Biden, 14 minutes, 7 feet away from Speaker Pelosi, is not a close contact, but 15 minutes, 6 feet away would have been a close contact.
The Biden administration announced this week that you will lift a Trump era pandemic restriction called Title 42, which restricted immigration at the southern border.
First, when it comes to Title 42, all along we've been following the science. That's what this is about.
When Title 42 is lifted, it could mean up to 18,000 more migrants every day. This will become an even bigger crisis.
It's very difficult to predict what that migration will be, that we will not implement policies of cruelty that disregard our asylum laws. We are rebuilding a system that was entirely dismantled.
Our team in Texas is saying that you guys are starting to give smartphones to border crossers, hoping that they'll use the phones to check in or to be tracked.
That we need to take steps to ensure that we know where individuals are and we can track and we can check in with them.
To help local officials whose communities are being overwhelmed by hordes of illegal immigrants who are being dropped off by the Biden administration, Texas is providing charter buses to send these illegal immigrants who have been dropped off by the Biden administration to Washington, D.C.
This is one of the biggest shifts we saw in 2020. The post-election survey showed 30 points of movement in the Republican direction among Hispanic voters without degrees. Hispanic voters voted Democratic by 47 points in 18. In our polling now, 15 points have been shaved off that in the Republican direction.
And looking at all the clips in preparation for today's show, none of them, I guess, stood out as much this morning on their own. But if you were to put together, like we just did there, quite a few of them, you see this theme that just keeps reemerging. All of these favored communist narratives, they're just breaking down. They're being fully exposed as the frauds that they are. And we'll get into that here in the first segment of today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show at CRN Digital Talk Radio Channel 3 on that platform. That goes into 11 million homes here in the United States of America. To get to the live video stream, however, you need to go to our very own website. That's thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com. That's the homepage. /live on the end of that takes you to the live stream page and also the page where the podcasts are posted after the fact, should you like to listen on demand. Hard to believe that it's Friday, the last program of the week. We certainly appreciate Richard Palmer subbing in yesterday. I got some nice emails in response to his show. We always appreciate his perspective, his specialty being there in the European region and serving at our Edstone office. So thanks to Richard for filling in admirably yesterday. So this big Obama bash at the White House, what was that, Tuesday? We covered that, I think, the other day. It's a super spreader event. I mean, let's be honest. We're just following the science. Now, the science does change constantly, but you don't have to go back very far to know that in coming before groups, certainly when you're around the president of the United States, leave aside that he's the fake president, but he's the White House occupant. And all of these people, including Obama, including Nancy Pelosi, including Kamala, including the president himself. They come into the event maskless. And then COVID spread. It's kind of like Obama's birthday bash. Remember that from a while back? super spreader, if ever there was one. And, of course, no rules, no COVID rules, no lockdown rules, not for Democrats. No, they're above the rules. The rules are for you. The rules are for Trump supporters. The rules are for the sheeple. Certainly not for the elites. So Nancy Pelosi comes into this event. She's shaking Biden's hand. She's hugging him. They're kissing, as you heard on the montage. They're filmed kissing. And Jen Psaki, and she does this with a straight face. It's not tongue-in-cheek. She said that, well, according to CDC guidelines, they weren't in close contact. What exactly is close contact then? If it's not kissing someone, that seems pretty close. And so I guess the fake president, he's not in self-isolation. Kamala Harris, she had a staff member come down with the COVID. She's not. Kamala's not in self-isolation. They're not quarantining. They don't need to quarantine now. They don't need to mask up. Just your children at school. Just the five-year-olds. They definitely need to mask up. Listen to this. This is the HHS secretary being grilled by a U.S. lawmaker earlier this week. Clip four.
The CDC revised its guidance on February 25th, indicating that masks are no longer necessary in the vast majority of this country. Why is your agency still imposing this harmful mask mandate on toddlers and young children in the Head Start program?
Congresswoman, thank you for the question, because obviously we're still within this pandemic and it's a very salient question. What I would say to you is that we know that masks are safe and they are effective.
We're still within this pandemic. And the reason why the five-year-olds have to wear masks is because they're safe and they're effective. They stop the spread. And so Obama, he has his big White House return earlier this week. Nobody's wearing masks. Of course not. That's for the children to wear. The five-year-olds, the six-year-olds. This is from the New York Post earlier this week as well. The CDC found that more than a third of U.S. high school students reported poor mental health during the pandemic. Nearly half, 44%, said they felt sad or hopeless. A horrifying near 20% said they had seriously considered suicide in the previous 12 months. But never mind! Put on the mask! It's safe and effective! You just put it on. Well, what about Nancy Pelosi? Never mind that. She's Nancy Pelosi. She's 82. She can kiss Joe Biden or anyone she wants. He's almost 80. It says here the lifetime for those who made it through unscathed, it says. The lifeline, rather. Per the CDC data, it's an obvious one. A feeling of school connectedness. Teens who felt connected to both adults and their school buddies were far less likely to experience those feelings of sadness or despair. But for a time there, quite a long time, they were told to mask up. They were kept from going to school. They were locked down. They had to keep social distance. And now we come to find out that social distancing, in this case, if you kiss and hug the president of the United States, that's okay. You're obeying the laws of social distancing. The New York Post, just coming back to this White House super spreader, it says the White House and Biden had tested negative for COVID-19 on Wednesday. More incredibly, the administration claimed he was not considered a close contact of Speaker Pelosi as defined by the CDC. So we're following the CDC now. It's just according to the science, the ever-changing science. Fox News says here, the communications director for Vice President Kamala Harris tested positive on Wednesday, a day after he attended a ceremony at the White House where he was in close contact with Harris and former President Barack Obama without a mask. Gives the guy's name. Kamala, she's not in self-isolation. She can't be. She's a communist. And the rules don't apply to the communists. Listen to this. This is the chief medical propagandist. Here's Tony Fauci on the failing CNN Plus network earlier this week. This is from this week. Clip three.
Could we have had a lot fewer deaths?
I believe so. I believe so. I remember when we were trying to get the 15-day and then the 30-day extension during the Trump administration, and yet he was coming out right after we came out and I said with Dr. Birx, let's do the 15-30-day, he would get up and say, you know, liberate Virginia, liberate Michigan, which was just completely contrary and antithetical what we were trying to do. But if we had really locked down, we probably wouldn't have lost a lot of people early on. But
That's Fauci, of course, going after Trump. If we had really locked down, it wasn't good enough what Trump did. If we had really had a stricter lockdown policy, well, we could have saved lives. And so who's responsible for killing grandma? That would be Donald Trump. He is responsible. Listen to The View host, one of them, Sunny Hostin. Listen to what she said earlier this week, clip six.
Like, if so, all these people who got COVID because of the lies and the misinformation, isn't there a class action suit that they can sue that administration and all those people who took her words and changed them or took them out?
My family has thought about this a lot, especially because Manny's parents died from COVID. And I blame the Trump administration for that.
Right. It's Donald Trump's fault. Let's see if she has anything to say on today's program. I guess it's probably already over. About the super spreader at the White House this past week. How many people are going to die because of Nancy Pelosi? Or maybe Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or the communications director for Kamala? How many people should be sued because of this reckless behavior going on in the White House? Here's the chief propagandist, Jen Psaki, yesterday talking about how that, hey, COVID's pretty much here to stay. Clip two.
Well, COVID-19 will continue to be with us, and we will see cases rise and fall as we are seeing them rise now, to be expected given the transmissibility of BA2.
Right. It continues. It will continue to be with us, and by us, we mean Republicans. They are the only ones that can spread it in a lethal way. If it spreads from one Democrat to the next, we're not concerned a bit. Look, the only reason we use this was as a pretext to get the mail-in voting. As I say, these narratives exposed as the hoaxes they've been from the beginning. It was nothing more than a ploy to steal the election. My father's been talking here recently about the January 6th hoax and how that's being used to cover up the steal. This was used to complete the steal. And you see more and more as these narratives are exposed, you see more and more how that the subject that's central to all of this is the steal of American history. Never has there been anything like it. I told you earlier this week, just let your eyes carry out the test or the exam. What you saw at the White House, the swarm of people around Barack Obama, and then Joe Biden, the man who supposedly got 81 million votes, the man who supposedly got 12 million more votes than Barack Obama. He's wandering aimlessly around the White House. Obama's the big star. Obama's the big celebrity. Obama's Antiochus. And the war, the warring spirit, it's between Antiochus and Jeroboam. Poor Joe Biden, he's just a puppet. And nobody in his immediate circle or even in his immediate family will do the loving and considerate thing and say, look, he needs to be cared for in a home or at least at his own home because he's in obvious mental decline. And that's not a laughing matter. There's millions and millions upon millions of people in America and around the world suffering from things like dementia and Alzheimer's. And here he's just propped up. And the whole, like I said the other day, he's just made to be a joke, even among those on the left now, to carry out this massive fraud. Those Obama phones, you remember those from the Obama era? Yeah, I want to get an Obama phone. At least then they were Americans. Now they're giving out Obama phones to illegal aliens. You come into the United States, and what do you get? You get the free plane ticket. You get the bank card so you can get some groceries. And you get a smartphone, too. Is this for real? Is this really happening? Well, Jen Psaki, you heard it in the montage there. Oh, yeah. That's right. We're giving them smart. Well, we got to track them. Well, never mind. We could, if we really wanted to track them, we could put ankle bracelets on them like we do the January 6th protesters. But no, we got to give them a smartphone so that we can keep track of the 18,000 per day that are going to be coming in once Title 42 is lifted. That's May 23rd. That's coming up quick. 18,000 per day. Says here one source, our team in Texas is saying you're beginning to give smartphones to border crossers. Well, this is, again, quoting that exchange between Peter Ducey and Psaki. You heard it there in the montage. But we're giving the illegal aliens smartphones, and then we're putting the ankle monitors on those that were part of the Trump protest, the Americans that were part of the Trump protest on January 6th. There was a U.S. District Court judge yesterday, by the way, or maybe it was a couple days ago, he found this Trump protester, Matthew Martin, not guilty on four counts that the Department of Justice had brought against him. Entering and remaining in a restricted building, all right, disorderly conduct in a restricted building, violent entry, and parading in the cap. So parading, entry, and I guess some kind of violent entry. Well, he said in the trial, no, it wasn't a violent entry at all. The door was swung open. The Capitol Police waved me in. I went in for all of 10 minutes, and then I left. That's it. And the DOJ wanted to put him in jail for who knows how long. And a judge, at least there's one out there, wising up to what's happening here. This is persecution of political opponents. Persecuting the opposition. He was acquitted because this judge said, look, the evidence shows that he was let in. And there's even video footage that is showing this. Now this represents, another stunning blow to the communist left, because a lot of these cases, we've followed some of them, we've reported on some of them, but a lot of them, there are plea deals. I mean, a lot of these protesters, they're not wealthy people. They can't go and get Alan Dershowitz to defend them in court. And so they're reaching a compromise, saying, well, all right, I'll go to jail for 3 months or 6 months if you just leave me alone, if you just let me return to my life. Well, here's someone that actually fought against the DOJ. And a judge, a just judge, believe it or not, said this is not fair for this particular protester to go to jail for this. He was acquitted. 10 minutes in the Capitol. Supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, and good for this judge and saying, no, you didn't prove. Imagine the DOJ coming in and saying, yes, Your Honor, we've got all of this evidence showing that it was a violent entry and disorderly conduct. Okay, well, let's see the evidence. Well, I mean, hey, this was an insurrection. This was worse than anything since the Civil War, Your Honor. Okay, well, where's the evidence of the violent entry? They don't have any. I mean, this sets a pretty remarkable precedent here. And Alan Dershowitz noted this on Fox earlier this week. He actually does represent someone who has the money to fight against this. Dershowitz, he was quoted as saying that this is enormously important, what this judge Trevor McFadden, decided earlier this week, this acquittal. Dershowitz, as I say, he's representing this guy, Brady Knowlton. He's facing up to 20 years in prison for similar charges. They want to send these people to jail for 20 years because of an unlawful entry into the Capitol, because of trespassing. 20 years in prison? That's what they want. That's what Merrick Garland wants. The Daily Wire says here, Dershowitz said that the subjective intent of the defendant is key, noting that the judge took Martin's word over the police and the prosecution. The courts have to look at the state of mind of the defendant, he said. If that's the rule, we will win. If these radical communist Democrats who are trying to put people away for 20 years, Americans, put them in prison for 20 years as they give out the smartphones to the illegals. If these cases start to collapse, you remember early on, right after Jan 6, remember that government attorney that said, oh yeah, shock and awe. We wanted to put as many in jail as possible. The process is the punishment, as we've said so many times before. Stretch it out, delay the hearing, keep them in jail in D.C., and, I mean, going on to today, that's 15 months in jail for these trespassers. Well, now we're getting to where the rubber meets the road. Now judges are actually hearing some of these cases. And in the case of one, McFadden, he says, you don't have any proof. You don't have any evidence of what you're accusing. The narratives are breaking down. Listen again to this montage or to this other one to pair it with the one we played at the top of the show, clip 11.
CNN is right up there with them. They pushed the Russian collusion hoax, the Jussie Smollett hoax, smeared Justice Kavanaugh as a rapist, smeared Nick Salmon as a white supremacist. Yes, they dismissed the Hunter Biden laptop affair as pure Russian disinformation. Is it time to finally declare that the canon of journalistic ethics is dead or no longer operative? All the mistakes of the mainstream media and CNN in particular seem to magically all go in one direction. Are we expected to believe that this is all just some sort of random coincidence, or is there something else behind it?
It's too bad. It's time for lunch.
So in 2020, you wrote, those who live outside the Fox News bubble do not, of course, need to learn any of the stuff about Hunter Biden, referring to his laptop, of course. Do you think the media acted inappropriately when they instantly dismissed Hunter Biden's laptop as Russian disinformation? And what can we learn from that in ensuring that what we label as disinformation is truly disinformation and not reality?
My problem with Hunter Biden's laptop is I think totally irrelevant. I don't find it to be interesting. I mean, that would be my problem with that as a major news story.
CBS News has learned that more than 150 transactions involving either Hunter or James Biden's global business affairs were flagged as concerning by U.S. banks for further review.
So there's evidence that the president at one point was office mates with Hunter and his brother Jim here in D.C.
It's not accurate.
That is not accurate. So when Hunter Biden is emailing a landlord, please have keys made available for new office mates, Joe Biden, Jill Biden, Jim Biden, that you're disputing.
They were not office mates, no.
They were not office mates, okay.
Great.
Never mind the email that said they were office mates. The email from Hunter that said they were office mates. And what does the chief propagandist at the White House say? They were not office mates. That woman right there, she cannot wait to get to her new gig at MSNBC. Covering for this administration, the lies, the torrential flow of lies coming out of this White House, unbelievable. You can't make this up. 150 financial transactions red flagged by financial institutions here in the United States? I was just talking to our chief financial officer in the office yesterday. All of the tax returns he's helping students with and making sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. I mean, you can't make one mistake. You make one mistake and, I mean, they come after churches. They come after organizations. For, oh, you got a mistake. We got to penalize you. And meanwhile, Hunter Biden, Jim Biden, Joe Biden, he's the big guy. They're getting millions of 15,000 here, 25,000 there, wired into all of these shell companies set up by Hunter and Jim. And Joe's the big guy. We know it from the emails. We know it from Tony Bobulinski. The grand jury right now is asking witnesses, who is the big guy? No wonder they're pulling the plug on Joe Biden. They've got so much dirt on him, the right and the left. And the media covering it up for 17 months. And Ann Applebaum, she's at the New York Times, really? And she's going to say, you know, it's not relevant. It's not I'm just not interested in Hunter's laptop. You're not interested. There was a tweet going around from her. This is 2019. Am getting tired of hearing about how corrupt Ukraine is, said Applebaum toward the end of the Trump administration. You know which country is corrupt? The United States. We have a president who's using the White House to make money. Presidential children who are using their father's prestige to make money, said Applebaum in 2019. Now, well, the problem with Hunter's laptop is it's irrelevant. And I'm just not interested in it. She sure was interested in what Don Jr. was doing. And in that case, it wasn't even true. They weren't enriching themselves. There's all kinds of reports showing that Donald Trump took a hit when he set aside his businesses for those 4 years as president. And meanwhile, the president sitting right in front of her face with a son and a laptop right in front of her face and a college freshman of all things, a college freshman standing up and saying, where's the misinformation actually coming from here? What a complete and total smackdown of Brian Stelter at CNN and Ann Applebaum at the New York Times. And it's coming from two 19-year-old students who are standing up and just asking questions based on the truth. The narratives, right across the board, they're breaking down. They're being exposed. And when we come back, we'll tell you why. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can send us an email, td@thetrumpet.com. If you'd like to request America Under Attack or any of our other literature, just call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. A child is a miraculous blessing from God, an opportunity to build his family. In his word, God says to train them up in the way that they should go, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. But how should you train up your child? Most parents do not know. Most parenting books offer only limited help because their authors do not understand the purpose and potential of your child's mind. As a result, millions of children grow up to be hopeless without any direction in life. Many come from broken homes. Many do not have a home. This is why so many young people become delinquent, rebellious, and unsuccessful as teenagers and adults. But you can rear successful, jubilant children and avoid the heartache of an unhappy and miserable home. God has outlined how to rear obedient children in His Word. Our free book, Child Rearing with Vision, will show you how to raise children that follow after God's abundant way of life. It will help you build a strong, united family. It will help you bring God's love into your child rearing. And it will guide you through the momentous journey of preparing your child to serve God the Father forever. Request your free copy of Child Rearing with Vision at our website, thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
When you look at the way that this is unfolding, you see that God has laid the biggest trap for the left that you can possibly imagine. God's intent is to expose wrongdoing. And because of the way that this is playing out, we're seeing and we're about to see wrongdoing on an epic scale. It's already being exposed on multiple levels, and it's about to explode even bigger.
That, of course, is the familiar voice of Joel Hilliker, the host of Trumpet Hour, as you saw there on the screen. And it's from November 18th, 2020. So that was 2 weeks. 2 weeks after the steal, the election steal. And he says there, you know, when you look at how this is all unfolding, God's set a trap for the radical left. Sometimes it's hard to wrap your mind around that reality when you see just how much power the radical left has. And they do. They do control so much. They got their Supreme Court justice through with the help of Mitt Romney, the one who stood applauding the nominee as she made it through to the Supreme Court. He just voted against her. What was it, 6-8 months ago or maybe a year ago? At the court, the next level below the Supreme Court, he voted against her. Then all of this, these revelations about how that she's soft on the distribution of child pornography and pedophilia. What a sick world we're living in. It's Isaiah 1. The sickness is from head to toe. We declare our sin like Sodom. Listen to this from Jen Psaki. What's the one from? It's toward the end of my notes. Yes, clip 5.
To be clear, every major medical association agrees that gender-affirming healthcare for transgender kids is a best practice and potentially life-saving. All of this begs an important question. What are these policies actually trying to solve for? LGBTQI plus people can't be erased or forced back into any closets, and kids across our nation should be allowed to be who they are without the threat that their parents or their doctor could be imprisoned simply for helping them and loving them. President Biden has committed in both words and actions to fight for all Americans and will not hesitate to hold these states accountable.
Gender-affirming health care, it's called. In other words, sex reassignment surgery for kids. We got to make this available for kids. And we got to crack down on states that wouldn't that might not make this as available as they should for the kids. And we certainly aren't going to let parents stand in the way. This is, you know, we've talked before about how that this administration, it's leading a brutal crackdown on non-existent crimes on the one hand, allowing all kinds of crimes to happen in broad daylight, millions of illegals invading the United States, for example. Crime, out of control crime in every major U.S. city. And yet the crackdown on the January 6th trespassers. And then at the same time, you see this administration embracing policies that approximately no one support. No one supports it. Or a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction. It's so obvious that America is under attack. I just want to take you through these verses again. You've heard them before, I know. 2 Kings 14:26, it says, "For the Eternal saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter, and there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel." There just was no help from any direction. I mean, this is a hopeful message. God is intervening in ways that we don't even see or recognize at the moment. One of them is all of these false narratives being exposed as lies. And we talked about that. You heard that from Joel Hilliker there in that clip from 2 years ago. God, we've talked about the 6,000 years of, you know, man being cut off from the tree of life and God having a sort of a hands-off policy. But that said, I mean, he does carry out his purpose and plan. And it says here that there would be bitter affliction in Israel in these last days. And verse 27, it says, "And the Eternal said not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash." And so we've talked so much of late about Jeroboam and the spirit of Antiochus, the attack on the United States, the communist attack. And yet God, it says here in verse 27, God will intervene. And verse 28 talks about Jeroboam having to war to recover what's rightfully his. In this case, as we've covered, the stolen election. There are a few among the Jeroboam administration willing to fight, willing to expose, willing to stand firm. But as my father has said before, this is not an indication that America at its core is a righteous nation. God really wants us to look at and to confront our sins and to see what our sins, all of us, have brought on. How did these communist movements get away with what they've gotten away with? How do they continue with statements like you just heard there from Jen Psaki sex reassignment surgery for teens? What are we talking about? What is going on? And they come out proudly declaring their sin as Sodom. We better be looking to God. We better be putting our faith and our hope and our confidence in God. It's not in man to think and to direct and to guide his steps. We need God and his intervention. We need God and his power. We need God and his miracle-making events. His miracle-making power. I just paraphrase that passage in Jeremiah 10. Let's go ahead and read it. Jeremiah chapter 10. And verse 23, I believe it is, says, O Lord, the prophet says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. We need to pray for God's guidance and for his correction. And for his love and for his intervention. We need to pray for God to just strengthen our faith in these promises in 2 Kings 14 and elsewhere. Notice again what Joel Hilliker had to say in that program from 2 years ago. This is clip 9.
You also have the way that the left is handling the aftermath of the election, the way they're bullying people into accepting the election result. And you have this groupthink, you have the complicity of the mainstream media, you have the tech companies that are censoring truth in so many cases, and all of the hypocrisy and the double standards that you're seeing exposed, the people insisting that, well, the last election was rigged and stolen, and yet this election was absolutely free and fair, and it's not to be questioned.
And so much of that's being exposed. These people, these tech companies that said a year or a year and a half ago, well, hey, if you don't like the censorship, start your own platform. Start your own social media platform. And then Elon Musk buys the largest stake of shares of Twitter, and they're screaming from the housetops. He's gonna turn over our decisions. To blot out these messages. He might reinstate Donald Trump. We don't know what he's going to do. But you've certainly heard him probably make some pretty strong statements about free speech and the First Amendment in the United States. Is the tide beginning to turn? This is from Why Your World is Changing So Suddenly. It's the January issue of The Trumpet a few months ago. And my father says, our world has never changed so dramatically, so rapidly. Leaders in politics, business, education, and media are ignoring the law, violating freedoms, and enforcing radical policies on unwilling people. It says they are turning coronavirus, the environment, race, and other issues into weapons for forcing through their agenda. This is already affecting all of us, but believe it or not, much worse is coming. It's going to get worse in the short run. But at the same time, you see, there are signs that the tide is turning. You had this radical leftist. I mean, Oklahoma obviously is a pretty red state. But Norman, Oklahoma, you know, the college town, that's like Oklahoma's Austin, you know, for Texas. Liberal through and through. Radical left-wing mayor, this young, attractive woman. You know, an AOC type. She's the mayor of Norman, or was. And this is a city that voted, I think it was 9% in favor of Joe Biden just 2 years ago. And now there's an older, balding white guy, Trump supporter, who ran against this communist mayor, and he won by 7 points. So you go from 9% in favor to Biden to 7% in favor of this Trump supporter in Norman, Oklahoma. Is that a bellwether of things to come? These are some pretty dramatic sea changes that are happening right across the nation. It says here, in the process, this is quoting my father from earlier this year, in this process, the true agenda of the radical elites is being unmasked. This is not incompetence, we wrote. This is not a good faith attempt to improve people's lives. That's not what Jen Psaki's getting across there with a statement about, you know what, teenagers, they should have open access to gender reassignment surgeries. That's not something she's saying with the intent of helping and encouraging the nation. It's an attack. Says this is an intentional agenda from an evil motive to deliberately destroy what little good is left in our societies. That's from the January issue of The Trumpet. This here is from, this is November 9th, 2020. So right after the election steal, here again, just like that Trumpet Hour, those sound bites from Joel Hilliker. Here's my father speaking of Donald Trump, and he says, "And is Donald Trump's job finished? No, it isn't. So I don't believe at all that he's going to disappear from the scene. Here again, we want to keep God's perspective in all of this, putting our hope, our faith, our trust in God." It says, the trumpet has also pointed to a prophecy in Amos 7 that tells us a lot about the end time Jeroboam. None of that prophecy has been fulfilled, but we can be sure that it will be. And President Trump must be in power for this to take place. So when it happens, again, it may unfold in ways we don't know all the specific details. But when it happens, just know what you've been hearing consistently from God's church. Says God is going to fulfill every prophecy in his holy Bible. Fulfilled prophecy is one of the very proofs of God's existence. You see these prophecies unfolding. If you've subscribed to the Trumpet magazine for any number of years, you see what's happening and how much of it was prophesied. My father says, I still believe these prophecies are 100% accurate. This is what he wrote after they pulled off the election steal. It says, that means this nation is about to be shocked. I believe you're going to see frauds exposed like you've never even imagined. You heard in one of those clips we played, Mayorkas, talking about how that they're just trying to fix a broken system. That's what he says as the illegals just rushing across the border go from 7,000-8,000 a day to 18,000. You can't even wrap your mind around those kinds of statistics. Any other nation in the world would be absolutely destroyed by this. And there's Secretary Mayorkas saying, yeah, look, this isn't bad. We're actually fixing what Donald Trump broke. Donald Trump practically stopped illegal immigration in its tracks. And he didn't even have the wall that he promised because he couldn't get any financial support from the Republicans in Congress. So he had to find ways to get the money some other way, just to build a wall, just to build a security fence. Security fences that you see all over the world. And fences, by the way, that work. Ask Israel or other nations that put up barriers. Yeah, that's right. A lot of nations are all for barriers, not the radical left in the United States. Keep those barriers down. Let them come in. 18,000 a day, that's okay. We'll just get Apple and Google to help us get them smartphones. I believe we're going to see frauds exposed like you've never even imagined. It says, in a sense, you could say the left is fighting against God and God's prophecy. Now, that's a hopeful perspective right there. Again, not that we're putting our hope in any political movement. Far from it. Our hope is in God. We can stake our lives on the sure word of Bible prophecy. That's why we're able to speak as boldly as we do at the Trumpet website and on this program, The Key of David, and on down it goes. It says, who do you suppose is going to win that battle? See, they're going against God and God's prophecy. Who's going to come out victorious? Who's going to win? It says here, I don't know exactly how this will play out, but I believe God is allowing it to happen this way to ensure that the evil and corruption in America are exposed. See, God is allowing this. So even when you have the steal, as as disturbing as that might have been for all of us in November of 2020, you have to step back and again, you have to step back and say, okay, God allowed this to happen. God allowed this to happen. He could have pushed it in this direction or that to prevent something like this from happening. He's allowing what's happening at the border to go on right now and the out-of-control crime and all of this. I don't know exactly how this will play out, but I believe God is allowing it to happen this way to ensure that the evil and corruption in America are exposed. I mean, it is being exposed like never before. One last example. This is taken from the February 2022 Trumpet. And it says here, yet despite the media silence and censorship, I believe we are at a turning point. This was just a few months ago in the Trumpet. I believe we're at a turning point. I'm convinced that right as the radical elite's power is surging and they're leading America to its demise, their treason is about to be exposed and they will lose their power. It says America is suffering grievously under a corrupt and illegitimate government. I'm convinced that thankfully this is about to change dramatically, but it will only be a short-lived change. See, this is what we need to brace ourselves for. Donald Trump or any other politician is not going to lead us to the promised land, so to speak. As I've said over and again, we sound like a broken record, I know, but now more than ever. I mean, this is the time to clean up our lives, to drop to our knees in prayers to God, and to search the scriptures daily like the Bereans did. Now more than ever is when we need to establish close personal contact with our Creator in heaven. Notice what it says in the prayer outline. This is from Luke 11, the Gospel of Luke. The disciples asked Jesus, you know, how do we pray? How do we talk to God the way that you do? And Christ gave them some admonition. He gave them some instruction. And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So really, hallow God's name. Praise God for all of his love and mercy. Praise God for his power, for his timely intervention in the affairs of human events, world events. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You can read the companion passage to this in Matthew 6, the parallel passage. But pray thy kingdom come. Set your mind on the things above. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is what the Bible says at times. Well, at all times, but certainly at times such as this, God says to you and me, seek first the kingdom. Put your mind on the kingdom when all of this corruption and lawlessness will be a thing of the past. And when finally we'll have government, righteous government in place, truly a benefit to all the people of the world in every nation. And no more war and fighting and violence, no more division and strife. No more broken families. No more bizarre statements about transgender sex reassignment surgeries. Putting taxpayer dollars toward that? Toward smartphones for illegals? Going after police, meanwhile, defunding them. Even as we just throw all of this money to problems, and the problems get worse. God says to seek the kingdom, to pray thy kingdom come. And then verse 3 says, give us day by day our daily bread. We really do need day by day intervention, help, strength, guidance, power, nutrition from God. Read John 6 sometime, where Jesus told his disciples, look, I am that manna from heaven. We've got to consume Jesus Christ. We've got to feed on the words of God. We've got to digest this message. I mean, sometimes, like it says at the end of Revelation 10, there's a bitterness at first, but But after that, there really is a sweetness to the message, because it's God's message, because it's God's solution, because it's God who sees beyond the heartache and the suffering to real and lasting solutions. It says, America is suffering. My father wrote this, again, February 2022, Trumpet. America is suffering grievously under a corrupt and illegitimate government. I'm convinced that, thankfully, this is about to change dramatically, but it will be a short-lived change. He says, finally, the level of corruption in the United States government is being uncovered bit by bit. That's what we're seeing. You see it in the sound bites. You see it in the ridiculous responses to questions like the one from Peter Ducey. So when the Hunter email says that, yeah, give us some new keys for these office mates, Joe Biden and Jim Biden. You're saying then that they weren't office mates. No, they were not. They were not office mates. Next question. When you see that sort of thing, you know it's being uncovered bit by bit. And no wonder she's running off to MSNBC. It says here, the level of corruption in the U.S. government is being uncovered bit by bit, and it's far deeper than even we realized. My father said, this is February, earlier this year, I believe the tide is turning. We're about to see a sizable amount of this corruption brought to justice. That was in February, and we'll certainly see what happens in the weeks ahead. Let me just take you back again to the Trumpet Hour program. This is from November 18th, 2020, 2 weeks after the election steal. And here's what Joel Hilliker had to say, clip 10.
This whole situation is going to expose America's sin and America's lack of character and how much we have allowed Satan to influence us. We're going to get a good look at just how far from God we really are. That is going to happen. And God wants us to see all of those things. He's allowing this to unfold the way it is so that we have to confront these ugly realities about ourselves. Because ultimately, that's going to help lead us to repent of these sins. What happens is going to expose our sins, and it's also going to serve to correct us for those sins.
That's from November 18th. 2020, he talks about how that we're getting a good look at just how far we are from our great creator God. We want to be close to God. 1 John 2 and verse 3 says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. You see, if we keep God's commandments, then we know God. We get to know our maker, our creator. We begin to see how sin is removed from our lives and our thinking. It's always about getting back to commandment keeping. It's always about getting back to God's law. God's law is love. God's law is unselfish, outflowing concern for others. That's what's missing in this violent and chaotic world. It's the love of God. It's God's joy and goodness. It's the joy of God's salvation. It's the faith of Christ. It's the strength and the power that comes through God's Holy Spirit. We know God if we're obeying God's commandments. So there's the prayer, as I said earlier. There's the study. But then there's the righteous action. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's Matthew 6 and verse 33. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback, just send us an email to td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us today. We thank you for joining us all week, and we'll see you next week.